Elevate every morning with Tommy John's Second Skin underwear. The luxurious support of Second Skin guarantees everything will go smoothly. With over 20 million pairs sold and thousands of five-star reviews, guys love Tommy John. Plus, your most valuable assets are covered with Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. Get 20% off your first order at TommyJohn.com/Spotify. Save 20% at TommyJohn.com/Spotify. See site for details.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
It's a good show!
Howdy, folks. Welcome to We'll See You in Hell. This is the podcast where you get your information about horror and sci-fi and fantasy films. Sometimes it's a review. Sometimes it's a commentary. Sometimes it's a little bit of both. And today it's a review. A review of a little film called The Nightmare Before Christmas.
And here we are, Joe, perched betwixt Halloween and Christmas, which I feel is the perfect time to watch this film.
I agree.
Joe and I saw it at the Hollywood Bowl. We left before the ending, and I didn't realize it till the next day, but it was the highest I've been in years. And we got real drunk, too. So my memories of the evening are shady, but I know the movie quite well.
What did we do after the...
You and I went to the Bordner's prior.
That I remember.
After, I think it was just a directly home, wasn't it?
Or was that when we went and got that pasta at that Italian place? Was it that night?
No, that's when we saw Halloween.
Oh, okay.
Which we're talking about on the Patreon, and will be released shortly this month.
Yeah, that's the bonus up this month. The what the fuck was the... I don't think we went straight home.
I think we did.
I don't think we did.
We walked out, we got a lift, and we were out the door.
I was
home early. Maybe you went out. Maybe you had some odyssey.
You never know with me, man. It can always...
Down by the train tracks.
Yeah, I'll go down there cruising. I call it cruising for hobos.
Sure.
Sometimes they're down there, and I'll say, hey, is that a handkerchief tied to a stick in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me?
A bindle, they call it.
Yeah, that usually works.
Yeah.
Maybe ride the trains up and down with them.
Right. Here we are again, seeing each other for our hour a week. Shameful.
I don't understand why you can't. Now, I just asked Pat to hang out. Pat asked me to hang out. I said, I got a show at 8. Then he said, I wanted to hang out. I said, why don't you come to my show with me? And then he goes, I got to go home. Which feels like him saying, I don't want to go to your show.
No, I said, instead of doing the pod tonight, do you want to go to the Roost and have a good time? I was like walkable to the Roost. Joe said, I got a show at 8. I'm like, all right, call my lovely wife. I say, hey, let's stay in and watch a movie. I get here. Joe says, hey, you want to go to my show? I say, no, I'm going to a fucking movie with my wife.
Seems reasonable. To a movie or?
Probably just watch something. The screeners are coming in real slow this year.
I've received 3.
The WGA screeners. I got A Quiet Place, The Wife, which I discussed on the live pod, and I don't think anything else.
I got A Quiet Place twice.
Yeah.
And I'm in 3 unions, and I'm not getting any screeners. Every day I get 4 letters telling me where I can go see something.
Right.
For free. Oh, bite me.
I used to do it all the time, and now I'm just like, fuck off. Send it to my home. That's where I'm at.
Also, too, this bullshit of, Netflix and Amazon Prime will send me these, like, I'll get like a box of, I got a box from Netflix the other day. It was like five movies.
Yeah, I had the same thing.
I have Netflix. What do you want me to do with
these? Wait, you got Netflix pictures?
Yeah.
I didn't get that. I got Amazon Prime shows. There's one Amazon Prime show. It's called Forever, Fred Armisen and Maya Rudolph. I ain't seen this thing.
Is it good? Or you haven't seen any of it?
But all the reviews, I read 100 reviews and they were like, due to a request by the creators, we're not allowed to discuss the show. Excuse me? Excuse me? Then finally, once people started reviewing it, it's like, yeah, it's really pretty unwatchable, but episode 6 is the best episode of television this year. So it's worth sticking out to get to 6. Fuck yourself.
Yeah.
I know shows improve over time, but yeah, if it's unwatchably bad and then one is the best, what are you talking about? I hate that shit.
The commercials for that show annoy me.
It looks very annoying. I haven't seen the picture.
It looks very pretentious, you know, another one of these things with the couple that's stuck in the pattern, the holding pattern, and oh, who cares? I don't give a shit about anything anymore.
No, I'm getting to like, you know, like a Riggs in Lethal Weapon kind of vibe, like where, like if somebody put a gun in my face, I'd stick it in my mouth and bite down, you know? I don't want to get too dark here at the top, but just don't care.
Would you just bite down or would you just sensuously suck it?
I guess it depends on my mood.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, I mean, I woke up today. I usually, as always on Saturday morning, I have a tremendous amount of work to do. I got to get a script out. And I always open the door to my deck, sit out, have a nice breath. So I go, breathe in like a mouthful of like physical ash, like tastable, gritty in my teeth ash.
Yeah, it's bad. Shit. Oh, yeah, slide forward a little bit.
That's, now, why do you have this chair pushed up against a...
Well, it wasn't pushed up against it. You sort of flopped down and...
I just had a seat.
Shoved it backwards. No, I'm kidding. That's where it's supposed to be.
All right.
I had a few people over last night. You know, these kids get wise. They move the chair around as a joke.
Sure.
It's funny.
Sure. But the city's under siege.
It's horrific. These fires are incredible, and I don't mean that in a good way, obviously. It's pretty mind-blowing, and the winds now are coming tomorrow, so I assume that's going to really blow the bad air, not only blow the bad air down into the city more, but also it's potentially going to start the fires up again.
Yeah. My cat went out and was like, came in like eyes caked.
Wow.
It's bad. I am facing kind of the mountains and shit, or Griffith Park, but it's really bad. And I don't know if you saw our president's tweet this morning, but he believes it's the state of California's fault and actually plans on punishing us for having fires, which I think is pretty cool.
The guy just can't say the right thing.
He ain't even trying. You see, this weekend he is talking to, in 2018, he is talking to a black female reporter. She asks a very reasonable question. He goes, "You are so stupid. That is such a stupid question. You are so stupid." And he's like, I watch your show. Not the first stupid question from you. You are so stupid.
So at least he's an equal opportunity offender.
Sure. The Acosta thing. You saw that, I assume, releasing just completely altered footage from the White House. You didn't hear about this?
No. What's the Acosta thing?
Jim Acosta is a CNN reporter. He's asking Trump questions.
Oh, the reporter. I thought you were talking about the lawyer. That's not Acosta.
No.
Sorry. Go ahead.
This young female intern by Trump. Trump's like snapping, like, get his mic. You know, really like Nazi.
Yeah,
shit.
I saw that part.
And she goes over and really kind of aggressively tries to grab it, and he's like, excuse me, miss, and he puts his other hand on the microphone. He's like, miss, I'm trying to just ask a question, excuse me. The White House, tweeted out by what's-her-face, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, tweets out a doctored video put out by, like, InfoWars, Alex Jones' site,
right,
where it's sped up. There's, like, a almost like a fake hand feel to it, where he karate chops her arm. And the press secretary of the United States releases a 10-tweet thing like, the White House will never tolerate violence on women. And everyone is, even people on, like, you know, your diehard MAGA people are like, okay, we all know that this is heavily doctored. Like, come on.
Yeah.
We're getting into a real weird area.
Yeah, it's, and then you got Antifa going to Tucker Carlson's house.
Queen Antifa?
Queen Antifa, yeah.
I actually did not hear about this story.
They weren't officially called Antifa. It was an Antifa-esque type of group.
Okay.
They found out where Tucker Carlson from Fox News lived, went to his house, spray-painted on his driveway, chanted as a mob, racist, you're not welcome, get out. His wife was home alone. She was so scared, she hid in a cupboard. She was like, I thought it was a home invasion. I didn't know what was going on. This world's losing its fucking mind.
Look, I despise Tucker Carlson, but, you know, I don't think the man's wife deserves to be holing up in a cupboard.
I also don't think you're allowed to, you people, it is beyond my comprehension that people think, because I don't like you, it means I can come to your house.
Right.
And do mob shit. That's right. Lynch mob shit, dude. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Is anything going to be done in a court of law anymore at all? It's just, you know, it's just everybody is losing their fucking mind. Everybody's acting out of spite.
Yeah.
You got Trump being a dick with the CNN guy.
Right.
And then the Antifa people go, well, now we're going to go to Tucker Carlson's house and scream at his wife in the house. You know, it's like everybody is acting out of fucking spite. Everybody. It's fucking madness. This is becoming, you know what this is becoming? This is becoming, what's it called? The Israeli conflict about
what?
The Gaza Strip.
Okay.
This is like the conflict over there where it's this.
I should tell you I'm quite dumb. I'm not sure I'm seeing the correlation.
The Gaza Strip fight between the Israeli people and the and I'm really blanking on the other side of it. I'm not too bright either.
Woo. The Gaza Strip thing.
The Arab it's an Arab country on the other side. I have friends who come from there, and I can't remember the name of the country right now.
Woo.
Anyway,
folks, look, you're always going to hear the hard hitting political discourse on this show.
But it's this big, conflict that's been going on for years and years and years and years. It gets very violent.
Yeah.
And then, you know, everybody on both sides says, well, he started it. No, he started it. No, he started it. No, he started it. And it's to a point now where it's like, guys, regardless of who started it, stop.
Yeah.
This is insane. Like, this is like Brian Regan had a joke about it. Like, they need a good dad to go over there. Like, I don't care who started it. Like, what? And it's like, that's what this left versus right thing has become. It's like, I don't care anymore who started it. Everybody fucking stop, man. Like,
well, it's not going to stop. And I do feel that it is and always was the goal of the right to sort of flag this conflict into happening. But the left falls for it again and again.
It worked.
And now we're just kind of butt fucked. You know, this is the sort of stuff where we're 30 years before this stuff gets resolved. Like, we're just falling to shit by the hour.
Hey, hey, hey. But here's the bright side. I watched a documentary called Tricky Dick and the Man in Black, which is about Johnny Cash's performance at the White House under Nixon.
Okay.
And they get a lot into, like, Nixon's tone with the country and his stance with the press and the Vietnam War and everything. Almost identical to right now,
of course.
So that's the part of me that I just go, oh, this happened before. It'll pass, you know. But it was the same thing. He would like publicly say in his press conferences and stuff. He'd say like, you know, don't. He wouldn't say the press is lying. He instead would say the major minority is the voice of the press. This is a handful of people. This is not the perspective of our country. And then he would talk about the silent majority. And, you know, back then they said it was a dog whistle for racism. And he was denouncing the press, and the you know, reporters had to fight for their freedom to express themselves. It's literally the same thing. It was identical.
Right.
It was identical. And then Johnny Cash went to the White House, pissed off all his fans because he was the biggest musician around. Does that sound fucking familiar? It's almost identical. You'd
it's Kid Rock all over again.
You'd almost think. Well, I was going to say Kanye, but
oh sure.
You'd almost think there's a prototypical map of this somewhere. You know, like a diagram somewhere on the White House wall. And they go,
sure,
we're going to run the old tricky dick.
They're heavily influenced by him and Reagan. It's all bad, but you don't turn to us for this, folks.
You don't turn to us for this. You do turn to us to hear a sentence like "tricky dick."
You do, and
but
you
usually
turn to
not
us,
about a president.
You turn to us to put politics aside and get on with the show. And at the same time, and boy, am I drawing a blank, rifling through Spotify for anything that would fit on with the.
Oh boy. Maybe you could
have Joria. Joria. Doesn't anybody want you? Joria. You know I got your number. You know that song?
I do. It that just came up on your Spotify feed?
No, it just popped into my head. I saw a clip of Itanya on TV the other night, and they were playing that song. Great song. Laura Branigan, yeah. Is that who does it?
I have no idea.
Gloria. Gloria. Catchy song.
You could tell me it was Vicki Lawrence, I'd believe you.
Sure. Because
she did sing that night, the night the lights went out
in Georgia. That's the night that the lights went out in Georgia. I could have done that.
You know, what you could also do is, in the hour and a half you're drinking alone at the Tam O'Shanter before we record, maybe you just look up a song in 2 seconds.
Wasn't alone, and I like the spontaneity of it.
Who were you with?
I was with an elderly prostitute. Is that so wrong?
Old Merrill?
It was my friend Charlie having a nice evening.
Her name is Charlie?
It's a guy.
Are you with a man named Charlie?
Yeah.
Was it Charlie Day?
No.
A different Charlie.
Different one.
A Charlie that I don't care about.
That's correct.
Got it.
I mean, you should. He's a nice guy.
Seems like a nice guy. How could you be named Charlie and not be, well, Manson, I guess.
Sure. Bukowski, not nice.
No.
Yeah. Fleischer, the voice of Roger Rabbit.
Very nice, I would
Is
think.
He?
I don't know.
Also, you know, the potential Zodiac killer in a very tense scene in Zodiac.
That's right.
Great.
How does he do that thing with his cheek? Please.
Please, Eddie.
But it, like, I saw him do it like he actually did.
Yeah, I can't do
he
that.
He makes his cheek, yeah, like, I would have to do that with my hand.
Yeah.
That's crazy. There's never a Roger Rabbit sequel.
Yeah, it was talked about for years and didn't materialize, but it was my favorite movie when I was a kid.
Because they wanted to go full frontal in the sequel, right. And that was the problem.
Right.
They couldn't get any funding. What do you think the sequel would have been about? Maybe he starts fucking the cop?
I think there's a sequel to the book. Eddie, which I read, Who Censored Roger Rabbit? The book is terrible.
There's a book?
The book before the movie. Eddie Valiant is dead. I mean, Bob Hoskins is dead.
Well, now he is.
Yeah. I don't think we're going to get it, but it was being rumored pretty recently.
But hold on. The book is called Who Censored Roger Rabbit?
Correct.
And it was written as a prequel to the movie?
It was written and adapted as the movie, yeah.
Oh, the book that the movie is based on is called Who Censored Roger Rabbit?
That's correct.
Why is it called Who Censored and not Who Framed?
I don't remember. I read the book and I hated it.
It's an odd... And the book is about cartoons in the human world?
That's correct.
That's a weird... I don't know. It seems like more of a visual thing.
I agree. Joe, did you know, and maybe this takes us over into the... Screaming and News Psycho, but did you know that they are making a Creepshow television series?
I did. There's not a lot of information out about it, but I'm very excited. I'm very excited.
Okay. You know who's making it or anything?
I don't know anything about it, to be honest. Right. I want to say, like, maybe Paramount Network or something. I don't know. I don't know who's making it, but I am happy that that's happening. I'm excited for Jordan Peele's
Twilight Zone.
Twilight Zone.
But what are we going to get? CBS All Access? Is that what it's on?
Something, yeah.
Yeah, I can't do that.
I mean, Christ almighty. Jordan Peele can't get his goddamn show on the air?
Yeah, I mean, CBS All Access, that ain't on the air unless they ponied up, you know, an extra million or something.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, what are you going to do in this town?
You're going to be on, what do they got, the good nanny or something on there?
Nanny Time, it's called.
Yeah, I think it's the good nanny time, but yeah, it's Fran Drescher as a DA, ball-busting DA.
Right, and she's bad at the job, which is why the title is ironic.
Right.
She's a bad, they say that every week. They go, I ain't seen worse, is the catchphrase on that show.
And it just doesn't flow off the tongue. You know? Everyone that says it, you can see in their eyes, they're just not feeling the catchphrase.
So screaming in at News Psycho while we're there up against it, you see the story, Jason Blum, old Jason Blum from old Blumhouse Pictures.
Yeah.
Responsible for so many movies we've discussed on this program.
Right.
Just was booed off the stage. He went to the Israeli Film Festival, and I guess he was being awarded, you know, for some achievement or something. And it was the day of midterms, and he somehow took receiving an award for movies where people are murdered every 5 minutes into a chance for him to politicize it and talk about how he's fighting Trump or something, and got booed off the stage. What do you any thoughts on that?
My thoughts are, why would you discuss Trump at a film festival, A?
Right.
B, particularly at a Israeli film festival.
Right.
Makes no sense.
You know, and then so everybody starts booing him, right?
Right.
And he just keeps going.
What, is it possible they were saying, Bloom?
No.
Bloom no. House. No?
No. So it starts. So it, and by the way, this isn't like he spoke and they booed and then he left. He's doing the thing. The right. Boos start, and there are a few cheers. It's like, okay, maybe the audience doesn't want to hear this right now. This isn't what this is about. Like, maybe move off of this. Keeps going. Then the boos start turning into people screaming, "This is a film festival. We're here for entertainment."
Right.
Then that all starts. Then that turns into, just keeps plowing through. Then that turns into them standing up and telling him to get the fuck off the stage, basically. He turns to the lady who's the host of the event and goes, "They're going to have to drag me off stage." And then turns back and continues a speech that's supposed to be about open-mindedness and understanding the perspectives of others and not just shutting them down or whatever. And he's saying, he's like, out of one side of his mouth saying, "Because you're booing me, you're proving my point that everybody's closed-minded." And then out of the other side of his mouth, he's saying, "This is the beauty of America, that we can express ourselves like this." The goddamn thing barely made sense.
Right.
And then the lady had to call security. She had to call security onto the stage. And then when she did that, he was like, "Okay, I'll go. I don't need to be drug off." It's like, oh, for God's sakes. At least
you just said you're going to have to drag me out.
Yeah. Just fucking go down with the ship if you're going to pull your dick out, leave your dick out. You know what I mean? Like,
don't pull the thing out unless you plan to bang.
So
bombs over Baghdad. Did they was he talking about Israel in some way, or why take this platform for that?
It was the midterms, and he was like, "Just as you, the filmmakers, came here today, many Americans went to the polls to express what their vision is." Like, it was like the biggest stretch. I'm like, dude, just take the fucking plaque and leave.
Right.
Jesus Christ. And by the way, Mr. We all need to be better. Oh, he actually said these words. He goes, hate speech inspires, on Twitter later, he was like, hate speech inspires hate crimes, and violent speech inspires violent crimes, and
yeah,
blah, 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 blah. And I think his tie-in was he was trying to say because of the shooting. I think that was his way in. But he did, I'm pretty sure, make that analogy of the movies and the voting booths. But I think it was because of the shooting at the synagogue. He was saying, like, this is all the fault of the White House.
Right.
And I don't know whether they agreed with him or not. They were booing him so goddamn loud. Yeah. But anyway, what's it called, though? So he goes on Twitter then, and he gives this, like, 10-tweet explanation.
Uh-huh.
Saying, like, you know, the typical thing people do after something like that happens, they go online and they go, it was a beautiful experience. I'm so honored to have been. It's like, shut the fuck up, man. You're furious right now, number one. And then he goes, you know, we need to be better because violent talk leads to violent acts. And it's like, you know, maybe not the guy that runs Blumhouse should be telling me that.
Sure.
I love horror movies. I get it. They're movies. They're fantasies. But... dude, you know, there are plenty of people out there that would love to see his company shut down because they think it inspires violence toward women.
Right.
Right? Violence toward children.
Right.
Violence towards men. So maybe you're not the fucking mouthpiece for this, Jason Blum. All right? Relax. Relax. You got lucky with Get Out. You had nothing to do with it. Jordan Peele is a tour de force powerhouse of a talent. Uh-huh. He made a spectacular
CBS
movie for you.
CBS All Access.
He made a spectacular movie for you. Stop acting like now you're the guy with the vision. If you had any vision, you wouldn't have made the last five fucking movies I saw your company put out.
Damn.
That's the truth. Dare. Which was one of the shitty movies.
Did you see Truth or Dare? I know a lot of people thought they were watching that one and watched a different, even worse Truth or Dare on Netflix.
Truth or Dare? Insidious? Oh, yeah. She was there. She was there with him.
Lynn Shay?
She was there with him. And she had to just stand there.
Oh, boy. What was she winning an award for?
I don't think she was winning anything. I think she was there with him, like, I don't know.
Dating?
Maybe. And then he gets pulled off stage, and then the host goes out. She's like, okay, so come on, guys. We're here to have some fun. and has to get it on track like a party clown that, like, barfs on himself at a kid's party. You know?
Right.
Like,
have you ever known a movie to, like, more joylessly rack up $200 million than Halloween? Nobody is really enjoying it, and it just kind of keeps churning along.
Keeps churning. Even,
yeah.
even
I've talked to people, and they're like, you see Halloween? Yeah. You see it? Yeah. And you just kind of start talking about something else. Like, no one even wants to get into it. It's just kind of like, yeah, it was a movie.
Hmm. Yeah.
Not much to say.
Movie where the first kill is a 7-year-old kid.
Yeah.
And then this guy goes on Twitter, we need to be careful what we put out
exactly.
there.
I read today, I guess it definitely works in the screaming and new psycho.
Can Avengers, I go too hard on Blum? Am I in danger of blackballing myself in this?
You're fine. You'll notice I stayed silent. I want to work in this town.
Well, yeah, but you also told those stories at the live show that I can't believe were committed to tape.
Look, maybe Kelsey Grammer won't work with me again. But I don't really have any plans to work with Kelsey Grammer, so that's fine.
I guess I don't have any plans to go to Blumhouse. That is until I'm pitching a script.
Sure. I read that Avengers 4, the running time is over.
Don't say it.
Over.
Don't say
3 hours. So I'm clearly not going to see it. I didn't see the last one.
I refuse.
3 hours. That used to be for, like, the Ten Commandments and Schindler's List. Now, like, you know, like, trying to tell, like, the story of a nation, the story of a group of people, the story of the Holocaust.
Right.
Now is the running time for a movie about dudes in plastic suits punching each other while, you know, the Lumineers play, whatever the fuck these terrible movies are.
It's dog shit, and they just keep adding characters. They just keep adding characters.
Yeah.
It's I hate it.
Yeah.
I'm sick of it.
Yeah.
I'm not excited about Aquaman.
Oh, please.
Ugh. Looks terrible.
Jason Momoa. Did you see Venom?
No.
I read that Venom is exactly the same movie, almost shot for shot, as Upgrade. And I find that really sort of fascinating. And they
oh, wait, people, that was a Blumhouse movie. That looked good.
Upgrade is good.
All right. All right, I'll
we
check
We should do it
out.
On the show.
Upgrade's I was being good. A little unfair. They have some good movies.
Yeah, I feel like I don't think it's ever fair to associate a studio with like nothing but quality. There is no such studio.
No, no.
You're going to make a dog or two, and that's part of being creative.
Well, they make more than a dog or two. They, you know, they slap their goddamn. I mean, this fucking anthology thing on Hulu is
yeah.
Oh yeah, yay.
What's that?
We talked about it at the show, the Into the Dark.
Oh, right, yeah. It seems like there's a lot of horror anthologies coming out, and that's your bread in the butter.
I like horror anthologies, but not ones where each episode is a 90-minute movie. That's not an anthology. That's a movie.
Is the expression, that's your bread and butter, like, is the indication, the implication there that bread and butter is delicious, the best you can do?
I always thought it meant come between the buns.
Oh, for God's sake. Jesus Christ.
No, it means like how you make your money, your bread and butter.
Okay.
Like, well, my what does, like Pat,
oh,
your,
that explains it.
Your bread and butter would be making television.
Right.
You see?
I do, but what? How does that explain it?
Well, it's like, I think it's derived from, you know what butters my bread is TV. You know, like that's sure. How I make my money to buy the butter and the bread, you know, or the butter for the bread.
Okay.
I think. I don't fucking know. What do I look like, a fucking historian?
No, you
couldn't
don't.
Even remember the other country. Still can't in the yeah. Gaza Strip conflict.
Joe, let me take you, if I may, down to Pat's movie corner, 45 minutes into this podcast. TMC, Turner Movie Classics, does a great job throughout the month of October of playing great old classic horror. Usually I watch a bunch of these. I've had really no free time of late, but one night I couldn't sleep and I checked out The Curse of Frankenstein.
Mm-hmm.
And The Curse of Frankenstein is...
It's Frankenstein going, son of a bitch.
Yes.
Right?
It's sort of like a real foul-mouthed Frankenstein. Yeah. It was a Peter Cushing, Christopher Lee vehicle.
Yeah.
Always cool to see.
I believe I've seen this film.
It was a Hammer film.
Yes.
You know, they always talk about this golden age of British horror, Hammer. I thought it was boring as balls.
Those...
I hated it. And I like the world of Hammer films. I like that, like, Tim Burton influencing gothic horror. This sucked. It's considered a classic of the form.
I'm not a big fan of the 50s releases from Hammer.
No. It's got that
some of them.
The color film where it looks like it's black and white, but like somebody painted like 20% of the screen.
Yeah.
Like using the wrong colors. Everybody's cheeks are rosy. They all look like footballs.
Those 50s, 1950s, early 60s Hammer films. If you walked in the room on Christmas Day and one was playing, you'd be pretty sure it was a Dickens flick.
Yeah, exactly.
There'd be no part of you that would think it was a Frankenstein movie.
There wasn't anything close to a scare or a jolt. It was just boring as fuck. You know, it's like on that Edgar Wright greatest horror movie list. It's, you know, highly praised. Really didn't care for it, folks.
I already talked about Tricky Dick.
Yeah.
And damn it, I didn't finish this one, so I can't talk about that. Watch Candyman 2, Farewell to the Flesh. Yeah.
I've only seen Candyman 1, which I like a lot. I've never seen 2.
I love Candyman 1. I didn't think Candyman 2 was great. It's not a bad movie. It's just pretty boring.
Okay.
They do a really good job of I don't remember if they did this in the first movie or not, but his backstory is pretty cool.
All right.
Because every element of Candyman, it makes sense. Like, so you say Candyman five times in the mirror, he shows up and kills you with his hook hand.
Sure.
And then there are bees everywhere. And in this movie, they really get into the backstory, which is he was a slave who started dating or fell in love with a slave master's daughter.
Yeah.
The slave master didn't approve. The town murdered him by pouring honey on him and having bees attack him. And they held up a mirror to his face so he could see how hideous he was as he died from being stung.
Okay.
And then a kid like licked the honey and was like, "Candy man," you know, and like as a joke. And I was like, this actually ties it all together pretty well. Like that's,
yeah.
But anyway, aside from that aspect of it, I wasn't really into it. I never quite understood the concept of a guy that, you know, they do a terrible thing to him.
Yeah.
And then, and he's not a bad guy. He's like a good guy they did a terrible thing to. And then he kills innocent people after that. I never quite got that. You know, I get the, if he's out to avenge his death.
Sure.
But, you know, this movie, he's going after people that, like, you know, there's like a professor that thinks, like, it's just a legend. Like, it's this silly ghost story.
Right.
And so he does the Candyman thing in the mirror, and then he gets killed. That's, yeah, like, well, what did this fucking guy do? You know?
Joey, it sounds like this Candyman ain't so sweet.
I'm done.
I saw a picture called Psycho 3. You and I on this show discussed Psycho 1, widely acknowledged as a classic, an all-time great horror film.
We discussed 2 and 3, too.
I think, I had not seen 3.
Oh, okay.
But 2, yeah, of course, Tarantino famously said he prefers to 1. I found 2 to be kind of entertaining. I found 3 to be a fucking blast. And the reputation it has from almost everyone is that it's shit. Thought it was great. It's got some weird, like, sleazy, sexy energy to it.
Yeah.
There's like trashy sex scene that goes on for a while. Anthony Perkins did it. He was like a notorious Hollywood freak. I thought it was very well directed. It had great shots in it. The plot was kind of like fine, but I thought it had a real visual style. I liked the sleazy trashiness. I had a good time with it. I think it's a very underrated movie. Equal to 2.
I like 2 much better. I don't hate 3, but okay. I feel like it's more or less... 2 had a story to tell. Once you get past 2,
yeah,
and the, you know, which begs the question, was he cured? Is he still nuts?
Right.
Is he going to kill again? Once you get 2 out of the way, then it's just like, well, now it's just a movie about a guy that kills people.
I mean, 3 is essentially an extremely well-done slasher movie, but it's better than any of the Friday the 13th. It's better.
Like, I wouldn't say that.
The fact that it has this reputation of being shit is ludicrous. I think it was super entertaining.
Look, and you've disagreed with me on this, it gets such a harsh reputation because it's a sequel to Psycho.
Right.
I've said a million times, The Godfather 3 is not a bad movie.
I agree.
People bash it because it's a Godfather sequel.
And because of Sofia Coppola's performance.
I don't think she's that bad in it.
It's supposed to be Winona Ryder. Would have been a better film.
Why wasn't Winona in it? She was...
Exhaustion, which usually means drug addiction. But she had like... She dropped out a day before shooting because of exhaustion.
She wasn't even that famous then.
No, she was on the up and up.
Big dick move at that point in her career.
Yeah, that's a low-hand move, baby.
All right, I'll do one more. No, I won't. Wait, how many did I do? 1?
2. This is your third, and I got 1 more, too.
What was my second one? What was my first one? Candyman 2, I did.
Candyman 2.
That's it, isn't it?
Yeah, then that's my second.
Yeah, and so I'll do 1 third. More.
Now you're second.
Yeah, I'm just going to do 1 more is what I'm saying.
I accept
I'm not
going
to do 3.
Okay.
It's already, we're at the 40-minute mark. We haven't even touched on the goddamn film yet.
That's how this works. Are you getting mad at me?
Night visions.
Night vision, night visions.
You know, this is more.
How to do it.
I'm going to save night visions for scary stuff. But on the night tip, I rewatched Night of the Demons for, you know, in honor of Halloween. Still a really fun horror movie. Goofy horror movie. Doesn't make a whole hell of a lot of sense, but it's a really fun watch. And the practical effects are pretty outstanding in it. There's a scene where a woman, and it's the same actor that was in Return of the Living Dead that danced naked on top of the tomb or whatever. She puts a...
Also in Sorority Babes and the Slime Ball Bowl Around.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
She shoves a lipstick into her nipple, and like, I'm pretty sure I know how they did it, but they pulled it off really well, and it looks very real.
Okay.
Like she actually inserts this thing through her skin into her boob. But it's just really great makeup effects. The main demon lady is really scary, and it's fun. It's just a fun 80s horror movie. It's kind of what you hoped every one of those movies on the shelf in the horror section would be in the 80s, and right. I think this is one that delivers.
Okay. And I watched, because Joe said he won't discuss it with me on the show, the first Purge. I really enjoyed the first Purge movie, entitled The Purge, with Ethan Hawke. I thought The Purge 2 was okay at best. I left 15 minutes into the Purge election year to watch Mike and Dave need wedding dates, and I'm glad that I did. And this fourth one makes the decision for me that I'm done with the Purge movies. What I liked about it was it developing a political conscience, because these movies scream out to be political, and they try it a little but don't quite ever go there, the Purge movies. This one really did have a point of view. It was an interesting point of view, but it felt like anti-Trump propaganda made with a Trump supporter's level of sophistication, I would say.
I don't understand what you mean, but you mean it was
like I agreed with the message, but it was done in the kind of crude, not very elegantly told style of, like, you know, a movie that you'd think was pro-Trump. An anti-Trump movie,
right,
made with the quality of a pro-Trump.
I think it's impossible to do that commentary anymore where it doesn't come off as clunky at this point. It's so tired and trite,
yeah,
and we're all very aware of it. So anytime you see it now, yeah, it's just like, come on, guys, you couldn't do it. And then you have to remember, well, when did they make this movie? Was right. Everybody not doing it at that point? I don't know.
There are cool, really cool moments. There are, you know, there's like some of the villains in this are dressed like in, you know, blackface style masks. The villains are kind of like white supremacist types.
Okay.
So to see the hero, like who is a black guy, choke this guy in a blackface mask out and hold on the choking for like 3 minutes. Like we see the life go out of his eyes. It's like, okay, this movie has a little more on its mind than the other Purge movies. I just don't know that it was done all that well. Marissa sure. Tomei is in it. It looks like she shot her supporting role in about 25 minutes.
Marissa Tomei is in the
She's
first
in
Purge?
She's in that first Purge.
Why?
I don't know. You know, it is that kind of Blum model. It seems very cheap. It feels like...
Is it a Blumhouse? Blumhouse?
It was, I believe. It feels like a Tales from the Hood segment, and not a particularly good one. Not as bad as Tales from the Hood 2, but it's a very average horror movie.
All right. By the way, not as bad as Tales from the Hood 2. I mean, that's, what are you even saying there?
Right. That kind of leaves all movies.
You know, that's like saying, the how's the record? It's not as bad as Christian Rock.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pat, can I share a little scary stuff with you?
Please. Can I drink your last beer?
Oh, there's only one left? Yeah. Yeah.
We could share it with two straws?
No, but, you know, maybe you bring me a whiskey over or something. And nah, I'm fine. Anyway, I got to do a show tonight, people. You know, I can't go on that stage half in the bag like Sinatra used to. Scary stuff this week is a little TV show called Night Visions. And the reason I want to do this as a scary stuff is because it has been off the air for years. It's out of print. You can't buy it anywhere except bootleg. I got bootleg copies of it. But it was a horror anthology show hosted by Henry Rollins, of all people.
Okay.
Who I love and I'm a big fan of. Not a great horror host.
Sure.
And you know, it's like any anthology from the early to mid 90s, you know, it's got its great moments, it's got its boring moments, it's got its stuff you don't care about, it's got stuff that you love. But I think if you can find these episodes somewhere, it's worth your time. It kind of slipped under the radar a little more than some of the other anthology shows did in the past. There's a particularly good episode with Jack Palance, called Bitter Harvest, that I highly, highly recommend you watch. But that's the scary stuff for this week.
This is the Jack Palance from City Slickers 2, : The Legend of Curly's Gold?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure, he does Curly. Like, he's doing Curly in the segment.
That's kind of all I can do.
No, I mean Curly from the Three Stooges. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a sort of a biopic episode.
At one point, he runs in circles on his side on the floor.
That's called the Curly Shuffle.
Yeah.
Remember that was a hit song, the Curly
Shuffle? The Curly Shuffle. What, like the 80s, I guess?
Yeah, I loved it when I was a kid. Pat. Our movie today, The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Tim Burton's
Yes.
The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yes.
He didn't write it. He didn't direct it.
Yeah.
And yet it's Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas.
You got to love it.
Yeah.
You got to love it, these people.
Look. I thought this was pretty cool getting to see it at the Bowl. Tim Burton was not there. I was led to believe he would be, unless he came after we left. But we did see Catherine O'Hara perform some of the songs from this film. She is a hero of mine.
Me too.
We saw Danny Elfman perform at length. Not really a hero of mine, but cool to see him.
He's a hero of mine.
Music score-wise, some of my favorite scores of all time, but like to see him perform vocals.
Well, I'm an Oingo Boingo fan too, so.
Okay, that's not my thing at all. And Paul Rubens, Mr. Pee Wee Herman himself, came out.
And comedian Greg Proops.
Greg Proops was in like the chorus, yes.
Yeah.
The guy who voiced the Oogie Boogie character was there, who was great.
Man, they went batshit when that guy came out.
They did.
I guess that's everybody's,
Page.
Everybody's yeah. favorite character or something.
Yeah. I mean, for me, give you a little context. When this film came out in 1990, I want to say three, I was deeply obsessed with Tim Burton. It was John Hughes and Tim Burton for me. I loved Beetlejuice, Batman, Batman Returns, Edward Scissorhands, Pee-wee's Big Adventure. These were my favorite movies. This was a time when the man not only could do no wrong, but hadn't done any wrong yet. Every movie he made was a masterpiece at this time. So this comes out. And I knew he didn't write or direct it, but I was excited. I remember it was sold out, and I saw Adam's Family Values instead, which is a extremely underrated movie and very funny. I think I've talked about it on this show.
Mm-hmm.
Joan Cusack's great in it. David Krumholtz is great in it.
Mm-hmm.
When I eventually saw it, I remember feeling like, huh, I like everything about this. I like the music. I think it looks awesome. The stop motion is incredible, and yet something kept me at a distance from it, and it has kept me at a distance from it right up to the present day. I don't get into it in the way I get into his other shit.
I tried several times over the years to watch this movie, always tuned out, didn't give a shit. Thought, if I'm going to give it a chance front to back, this is the way to give it a chance. This is the first time I saw it in its entirety.
Right.
Same thing. You know, it's cute. It's a cute idea. The animation is phenomenal. And it is something I feel like I should love, but just kind of just don't care about it.
Yeah, the songs are catchy, but not catchy enough. The story is fun, but like never quite good or well-developed enough. The jokes are fine, but not really funny. The only really good joke is when they give the parents severed heads, you know, as gifts, which is in every trailer of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Visually, I find all of these movies do not quite match up to how incredible they look. Your Corpse Brides, your Carolines, or what is it, Coraline?
I liked Coraline a lot. That's why I was always surprised. I don't know what it is with this flick.
Yeah. The only one I really liked was Frankenweenie. I loved Frankenweenie.
I didn't see that.
And it's just a beautiful black and white movie. The voice cast, like Martin Short plays three parts. Catherine O'Hara plays three parts. If you can see it in 3D, I recommend it. But it's just not my thing. I had a decent time, but that movie is 79 minutes. You and I left early, and I was happy to leave early. And we had great seats.
It is sort of, in its own way, it's almost like a reverse Grinch Who Stole Christmas, you know?
Right.
But it is very Grinch influenced, I would say. I felt like the plot was a little disjointed. Like, you know, he said, like, a very throwaway line at the beginning is when Jack Skellington is telling those three evil kids to, like, get everything in order so they can take over Christmas.
Right.
And he's like, don't get Dr. Boogity involved, whatever that guy's name is.
Oogie Boogie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, okay. And, of course, they do. And it's like, and then all of a sudden, in the last, like, 20-minute stretch, this Oogity Boogity guy comes into the mix. And you're like, This doesn't seem like it needs to even be in here.
Yeah, it's really badly constructed, I feel like. And it's written by Carolyn Thompson, who wrote Edward Scissorhands. And I remember loving that movie, but of course I love that movie. But like from a story standpoint, it's a very bizarre story. And I feel like she kind of came up from being close with Tim Burton, but it follows no sort of structure. The movie, especially for being a kids movie, is sort of confusing at times to me.
In what way?
Maybe I'm just bored, but I tune out of it, and by the end I'm like, what's going on? Every time I watch it, it loses me. Every time I watch it. I'm talking about Nightmare Before Christmas. I mean, I follow and love Edward Scissorhands, but
a big Edward Scissorhands fan.
Always loved it.
I recognize it's a good movie. It's just not for me.
Yeah.
It's just not for me. It's too goth.
Okay.
It's just too goth for me. I can't get into it.
Did you have a goth phase ever?
No.
Okay.
Why the fuck would I have had a goth phase?
You know that bar next to Bordner's where we drank before this movie they have a goth night. And I've been there during it.
But that's a barrel of laughs.
I'm sure. There's always a huge line outside, and the one time I was there and going into Bordner's on goth night, I saw a woman standing with a man on a chain link leash, and he was wearing a sign that said, I have a small penis.
That doesn't sound gothy to me. That sounds more S&M.
It was, yeah, but that they go hand in hand. They go...
Do they?
Yeah.
I feel like the goths are too sad to hurt anybody besides themselves.
Goth and S&M are pretty close. If goths are having sex, it's S&M.
I don't think that's correct.
I know
it's
correct.
And if any fans have any insight into this, I'd love to hear about it.
About the most goth thing I've ever done was make out with a girl in a graveyard. And I went to see The Cure three times one summer when I had a really kind of weird period. A couple years back, I got really into The Cure.
I never did anything. I wore one of those little dresses with the white collars.
Right.
That was pretty goth.
And when I met you, you were a juggalo, which is different from goth, but
very
some crossover.
Very. And juggalos, you know, we don't bleed.
Right.
Except all the same color or something like that. They got some phrase like that.
It's like we bleed black and white or something?
We all bleed red or something. I don't know. Something.
Okay.
Some fucking thing.
We should, like, well, how much would we have to collect from our fans to go to one of these, like, Juggalo Fests and report
I've
back?
Been to one, and I performed at one.
You did stand up there?
Yeah. If you go back and check out my first half hour special, Pat, which I know you won't do.
Is it on Spotify?
No, it was a TV. It was for Comedy Central.
Okay.
My first album, I closed with the same bit. I closed with a bit called "The Worst Gig Ever," and it's about when I performed at the Juggalo gathering.
Yeah,
it's quite a tale, and it's all true. It's very.
I'll check it out.
You don't want to go there, dude.
Yeah.
They sharpened not when I was there, but I think the year after I was there, they sharpened a. Shower curtain rod into like a spear and threw it at somebody on the stage at one point. Another year they threw human feces at Tia Tequila.
That one I did read about.
And I'm sitting there saying, guys, I want to hate you.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that was the one thing I kind of thought was funny.
Imagine getting hit with human feces.
The worst fucking thing ever. Nobody deserves that. It's terrible. I had another thing to say about the Nightmare Before Christmas.
You didn't say much about it.
No, I did.
Okay.
I did. There's just a certain type of person that loves this movie.
Yeah.
My friend Jerry growing up, he loved it.
Yeah.
He loved it. And, you know, look, they sold out the Hollywood Bowl. I mean,
several nights.
Yeah, it's like... The only other movie I think they did that with was Star Wars.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so it's like people love this movie.
Right.
I'm just not quite sure.
It's the look of it. I mean.
Yeah, but there are a lot of things look like that. There wouldn't be that kind of fanfare for Coraline. There wouldn't be that kind of fanfare for the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer Christmas special. There's something about this particular film that drives people nuts.
But see, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer Christmas special, that's the fucking shit to me. I love that shit.
It's awesome. Yeah. I don't think you could fill the Hollywood Bowl.
No, you couldn't.
Several nights in a row.
No.
And I don't think people would go crazy if they were like, hey, the guy that does the elf voice is here.
What if they had like a hologram Burl Ives?
I'd go see that.
Yeah, I'd go too.
Every time, it's my favorite Christmas song of all time.
Silver and gold.
No, not that song. Holly Which? Jolly Christmas.
Have a holly jolly Christmas.
It's my favorite Christmas song of all time.
It's a good one.
I love it. Really puts me in the spirit. I got my Christmas records up in storage. I gotta get them out.
Mine are dusted off and ready to go. We're getting our tree this weekend.
I'm putting the tree up with my folks when I go home at Thanksgiving.
Okay.
It's going to be real nice. You're putting it up already, huh?
I like to get it up. I figure maybe it'll have a 1% adjustment to my daily mood. And that's needed because I'm at about a 0%.
Now, what if I came over dressed as an angel and just sort of hung from the top of the tree every morning? Would that put a smile on your face?
It would help.
All right. I'll think about it.
Have you ever done SantaCon?
No. Is that where, like, all the department store Santas go?
No. It's just a bunch of people. It's basically a bar hop through a city with everyone dressed as Santa.
Why are we not doing our own?
Well, it became very fratty and douchey over time, but I went to the LA one 10 years ago. I had no friends, and my one friend here was like, we should do this. And I made some friends I still have to this day from it. We had a blast. We saw like 19 bars all across Los Angeles. You take subways, you take, you know, the train system, and it's really fun. I would love to do it this year. We should do it. It's usually like right after Thanksgiving.
I would do it. My question to you is, why can't just you and I dress up as Santa Claus and go to bars?
There's nothing saying we can't do that.
We could do that tonight.
We could. Are you still coming with me this Friday night to see Planes, Trains, Automobiles at the Vista Theater at midnight? Me and Heather, and maybe
I can no longer go. I got a show.
God damn! At midnight,
I have a
show?
12:20 spot at the Laugh Factory. Yes, on Friday night. Entertainment doesn't sleep, Pat.
Thought maybe we could do that movie on this show. It wouldn't fit the format at all.
Literally not. You can't even stretch that one.
But I'm so excited to see this thing at the theater. I really can't wait.
I'm sad. If it wasn't at midnight, I could have still went. But it is at midnight, and so I can't. And that's how that goes.
Great story.
Yeah, listen, I got to get showered because I got to go do a show.
All right.
But look, listen, to everybody that suffered from the wildfires here in California, you're in our prayers and our thoughts. And
absolutely,
we hope that you get through it as best you can. It's a truly, truly just disastrous situation. So that's our show. We'll talk to you soon. Next week, I think we're going to do Clue coming up on one of these. We'll be doing. I mean, look, guys, we might do Suspiria. But my friend Jared saw it, and I was like, how was it? And he goes, prepare to step into to somebody's vision. And I was like, oh, God. And
I can't wait to see it.
I brought up Neon Demon.
Yeah.
And not Crash.
Mother?
Drive.
Oh.
Both of which I hated.
But you liked Mother.
I liked Mother a lot. He also hated Drive and Neon Demon, but he did say he liked this. But he said it is very much like a man's artistic vision. It is, you know, like he's like.
I sort of feel like I'm going to love it, and I often think about how I can even be friends with somebody who doesn't like Drive. Neon Demon, I get. Drive, I don't understand. And they're certainly both better films than Mother by about 5 billion%.
Oh, God, shut up.
Mother exclamation point, excuse me, is the title.
Shut up.
But I am excited to see it, and I think we should go to the Vista this week and check it out and do it on next week's show.
I can't promise that, but yeah, that's, you know.
We'll try our best.
We'll probably be doing Suspiria. We'll probably be doing Clue. I mean, that's, you know, and then your bonus live ep this month, the second live episode will be coming out where we review Halloween.
And one of these, times we will be doing the Make Good Patreon where Joe and I will do some like long epic commentary.
By the way, and correct me if I'm wrong, anybody out there, cause maybe I read it wrong. Cause I am the one that made a mistake, whatever, with the Patreon. I did look back through the months, it looks like nobody was charged for July.
Yeah.
For June, just for July. It looks like, in other words, you were charged for 1 month accidentally, not two.
Right.
And it looks like when I put the pause on, it actually worked for June, but then automatically started again at the beginning of July, which makes sense.
Yes.
Because I remember putting the pause on, and I was like, well, I don't understand what happened. And I think it just automatically restarted, and I didn't click like manual restart or something. So it looks like, and again, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. It looks like we missed 1 month and not two, or charged you for 1 month and not two.
But just because of the weirdness, I want to do some big, long, maybe a 3-hour movie commentary or something. Just. We're going to do something someday. I'm going to force Joe to do it. He keeps saying, I don't care about the fans. I say, Joe, we got to do this. We're going to get it done.
And then I'll spit.
Right.
I'll go, here's what I think of the fans. And I'll pull up the Patreon page and spit onto it.
Yes.
Onto my own computer screen. He would do that. He would spit on his own computer screen.
He was spitting on his screen.
Right? It never made any sense to me.
He'd get it in the keyboard.
I was doing Goodfellas.
Yeah.
All right, I got to go. I'll be at the Philly Punchline Thanksgiving weekend. I will be in New York City the weekend of July 3rd, 4th, and 5th, or January 3rd, 4th, and 5th, at Gotham Comedy Club. Come on out. I'm working the new stuff. I got a new bit about witches that I'm really excited about.
I'm on Instagram and Twitter, kind of, at the Patrick Walsh. Cool Kids airs Friday nights at like 8:30, 7:30 Central or something like that. It's also on Hulu. Very funny program. That's all I got, folks. We'll see you next time, and we'll see you in hell.
It's a good show.